And I'll just mention a couple things that's going on up at the camp. I appreciate your pastor so very much. I've always appreciated his spirit. How many of you like your pastor's spirit? Okay, now the Bible says a lot about that. He loves God. He understands a right biblical philosophy of ministry. And I know that the work of God is happening here. I know Brother Ouellette always enjoyed coming here, and appreciate your youth pastor as well, Brother Savini. Is Brother Savini in here? Oh, good. We can make fun of him. No, there he is. We can't make fun of him anymore. He's here. No, yes, we can. He's here. Loomis Park, by the way, Loomis Park. Everybody wave at me, Loomis Park. How many of you have been around here for a while, Loomis Park? Next time you call a pastor or hire a guy, can you at least make sure we can like spell his last name or pronounce it right? I mean... I love it. I appreciate these guys. I'll tell you what, they're a wonderful spirit, and God's got his hand upon their lives, and the leadership of this church is just rock solid. Appreciate them very much. Just a couple of things. We do have a Lady Street right around the corner, some flyers at the back table, and then also that's September 30th, October 1st. I know local churches do a lot of events and stuff once again. We just want to offer resources for local churches. If that's something you're interested in, also, Pastor wanted me to mention this. This is called, we don't do men's retreats anymore. Well, I mean, Camp Kolbeck since 1959 has been doing men's retreats. We don't do men's retreats anymore because we do man camp. Can I get an amen about that one? Man camp. Okay, so... all the ladies in the room are wondering what we do at man camp. I'm not going to tell you. We do men things. But it involves guns, steak, and preaching. That's all you need to know. Man camp. So grab some flyers on the back. Also, preacher, we do have a life conference, which is in correlation to our IFBF meeting right around the corner. And then we got some wonderful preachers here coming up. We have Dr. Jim Shetler, Brother Ron Comfort, and of course, R.B. Ouellette speaking at our life conference. This is open to everybody. We highlight ministry leadership. But also, once again, anybody can come up for the conference. And so we got some information on the back table. The more you take off the back table, the less heavy the suitcase is. So stop by the table. I also have a stress ball. If your life is just full of stress, see me. I feel better already. I just squeezed it. It's great. All right, see me. Anyways, all right, very good. Everybody doing all right? We're in the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading the first couple of verses here in a short lesson to make sure we're done here on time. And once again, preacher, thanks for the opportunity to be here and to just promote the camp and just let you know some things going on at Camp Kolbeck. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read just starting verse 1 all the way down to verse 6 and highlight just a couple things from the scriptures today and look forward to what the Lord's going to do. So I'll read the verses, we'll pray, and get right into it today. Here we go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Now, as we're reading the scripture, most of you are generally familiar that Paul had a very, very endearing relationship with the church at Philippi. He loved them and they loved him. So as he writes these scripture verses, it's very powerful, the personal touch that God has in Paul's life for this church. But notice as we pick up in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until, next word, now. First day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What I want to talk to you about this morning in our Sunday school hour here is what I've entitled the three most important days of the gospel. The three most important days of the gospel. Now I know it's Sunday school and we're going to have more of a lesson here today. But as we begin to think about this passage of scripture in your own life, I want you to think about the three most important days in the gospel as it applies to you. Because the verses that we just read highlight three references to time or days, and it's these three references to time or days that I want to challenge you in your life to be mindful of, to be challenged with here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the power of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. Use your word just to convict, to encourage, to remind, to edify even today, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name you pray. Amen. You know, there's many important days in life. How many of you think your birthday is a very important day that most people miss? How many of you expect everyone to celebrate your birthday on your birthday? Anybody like that? Yeah, be honest, like my birthday is very important. Yeah, very good. There's a lot of important days there in our lives. You guys remember your when you got your driver's license? How many remember that? Now, I don't know what's wrong with kids these days, you know. Remember like the moment you turned 16, you were getting your license, how that just doesn't happen today with young people. And so I remember that getting my driver's license was an important day. You guys remember the day you graduated high school? Oh, that might have been a long time ago. You remember that? What about the day you got married? The day I got married was actually the saddest day in the history of the world. It was, because, you know, and same for you, preacher, because we had to tell all those other girls no on that day. You know what I mean? No, he doesn't want sucked in this. I'm just kidding. I'm just making sure you're awake today. If my wife were here, she'd smack me for that one, okay? Wedding day. What a beautiful day. What a wonderful day. The day you graduate college, the day you buy your first house. And a lot of us has these kind of momentous events. Of course, we are reminded even today of a very important day that happened 15 years ago, 9/11. And when our religious liberty was attacked, when we were attacked as a country by terrorists, and certainly there's a lot to be said about that. I 5 years ago at First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, we had a guy in to speak on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 by the name of Scheibner. He was actually a pilot he's a believer. He was supposed to be flying one of the planes that crashed into the first tower. The day before, because of the policies of the airlines, he got bumped off. Because someone else took his place. A pilot came in and bumped him off. And so then that ended up being the flight that hit the first tower. So he's got a wonderful testimony. He talks about this. I know what it's like to have somebody die in my place. Okay, and it's a pretty powerful testimony. I've got a video of it. If you want it, see me after service. I'll get you the video. But anyways, a lot of important days. In this passage of Scripture, I believe there's three important days. Three important days that I want to challenge you about. Here we go. Get back in the Scripture, if you would. Let's take a look at them. Verse 5, again, for your fellowship in the gospel. Philippians had a fellowship in the gospel. The church at Philippi had a time in their life when the gospel was introduced to them. Notice verse 5, it says this, from the first day. You see, that church at Philippi, the believers here, had a first day. The day, the moment, the time when the gospel first came to them. Now, I praise the Lord that we have an eternal gospel. I praise the Lord that we have a God who exists outside of time and space. We have a God that is eternal, and his eternal plan has always been for Jesus Christ to come. But you see, even though it's eternal gospel, in time and space, somewhere in your circumstances, in your life, in the Church of Philippi's life, there was a time when the gospel first came to them. Do you remember it? Do you remember your first day? Now, the Church of Philippi, their first day is actually found in the book of Acts chapter 16. Now, I don't have time to get into all this. Let me challenge you to get back in the Scriptures sometime. Remind yourself how the gospel first came to the church of Philippi. You see, there was this guy by the name of Paul. You remember him? And so the Apostle Paul is out on his missionary journeys, okay? And he's wanting to take the gospel over to Asia, okay? And the Bible said that the Spirit of God forbids him because God had different plans. And so as Paul's not going to Asia, he begins to be directed by what we call the Macedonian call. Remember that in the Scripture? How this man asked for the gospel to come, and it was a part of God's working. And as the Apostle Paul, who's not going to Asia, hears the Macedonian call. As he's doing that, he begins to go around and ends up in this colony by the name of Philippi. And so as Paul is going into a town, he finds some ladies by the river. And it's just a really cool story. These ladies are praying, and there's this lady who was a seller of purple. Remember this? You remember her name? Who is it? It's Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. And can you imagine her testimony many years later as she sits around and maybe tells her family, tells her kids, tells her personal testimony? Hey, I was by the river and the Apostle Paul showed up and gave me the gospel. Okay, and then there was a, the story goes on as Paul's in Philippi, there was a damsel with the spirit of divination there, and how she was making money, and then the Apostle Paul, you know, confronts her and calls out the demon, and she ends up getting saved, and she's got a testimony now. So now Lydia gets saved, and now this damsel gets saved, and then now, you know, Paul calls a ruckus in the city, you know what I mean? And so Paul's, you know, preaching, and they're upset, and so they bring him in, and they throw him in jail. You remember that? I mean, and it all... human level, it's like, oh no, they just threw our preacher in jail. You know, this is terrible. This is bad. This is horrendous. God's work is going to stop. Well, no, 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 no. You see, God had, you know, plans. And so as Paul's in jail, you know, I think it's about midnight or so, and they start singing. And they start singing. And then all of a sudden, you know the story, the Philippian jailer is converted. Then eventually his whole house is converted. And so we have this story in Acts chapter 16 on the first day that the gospel came to the Philippi. Okay. And it's a wonderful story. You see, all of us have a first day too. We have a first day. You remember when you got saved? You remember the circumstances? You remember the relationships? You remember the time? Okay. I got saved at age 17, public high school in Illinois, and how the gospel came to me. And that was 1999 time period, okay? But you go back, and I think it's an awesome story how the gospel came into my family. Because we know that the Church of Philippi eventually grew, and a lot of people got saved. But it all started with Lydia, the damsel, and the Philippian jailer. Okay. Back a long time ago, there's a lady by the name of Betty Mattingly. Now, that name means nothing to you, never will. But this was a lady who was involved in a group called Christian Friendliness. It was kind of like the old school CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, one of those children's ministries. And she invited boys and girls to a backyard Bible club type scenario. This guy by the name of Roy, this little boy came named Roy. Roy came to this Bible club, and you know, of course, they memorized the Bible verses. And if you're a teacher of boys and girls, I want you to pay attention to this story. How many of you teach at some capacity, VBS or children or whatever the case may be? Just pay attention to the story. Betty Mattingly is giving the gospel to this boy named Roy. This boy named Roy, little boy, never gets saved. But he memorized all the Bible verses, went through the stories and everything. Years later, this guy by the name of Roy grew up, began to work on the Rock Island Railroads, okay, back in the Quad City area there in Illinois. Meets a guy by the name of Warren Lindbergh, knew this guy, they were friends. And that Warren was there, a worker with him. Eventually, Roy got called into Vietnam to go to war. He's over in Vietnam, in the bunks, or in the barracks, or bunks, wherever they're at. And in the middle of war, in the middle of death, in the middle of fear, in the middle of over there in Vietnam, all of a sudden these Bible verses start coming back to him. He's not saved. So all these Bible verses that he memorized as a little kid come back to this guy by the name Roy. There he is in Vietnam, in the middle of war, and he gets saved. Okay, glorious story. All because some lady gave him Bible verses as a kid and never got saved. Roy comes back to the Quad City area, looks up his buddy Warren Lindbergh, who used to work on the railroads there in Quad City, invites Warren Lindbergh to church. Okay, Warren Lindbergh ends up getting saved. Warren brings his wife, Rachel. Rachel comes to church and gets saved. Now, Rachel and Warren Lindbergh invited their sister, Rachel's sister, whose name was Lois, to come to the church. And she got saved. And Lois was my grandma. And the gospel was introduced into my family that way. And the effect of now my brother who knows the Lord, his five kids being raised for Jesus, my sister who knows the Lord, his four kids, her five kids, my two kids, my mom and dad, and the whole gospel influence in my family, all because a lady by the name of Betty Mattingly gave some Bible verses to a child. You see, we all have our first day and how the gospel is introduced to us. And may I suggest to you that you're going to have a lot of important days in life. Young people, look up here. Hey, listen, I'm glad you're looking forward to driver's license and college and getting married. You girls looking forward to getting married someday? We shouldn't be talking about this. Your mom's going to be, you know, give me in trouble. All right. Hey, listen, young people, I'm glad you're looking forward to some things in life. That is okay, but nothing is more important than the day you got saved. The day you came to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The day you came to know eternal life and to know that your sins were forgiven and have a purpose in life. No other day. Yeah. is more important as the day that you got saved. Day number one. Day number two, just quickly, there's a reference in Scripture to another time period, and that is the time we refer to as now. Look in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The second most important day of the gospel is now. We see now actually changes. Because if y'all talk about this tomorrow, or we talk about tomorrow, you read this Bible verse tomorrow, now we'll have a different actual physical time period. Now always changes. Now is now. It's already changed because it's 10 seconds later. Now is now. But what's so important about now as reference in the context of this verse? Now, if you look in the Scripture, is reference to this, the good work in you, which God will do until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now is so important because now is the time that God is in you, working, changing you into the image of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things going on in this world. You have probably a lot of context to your life and going to work and paying bills and raising your kids and everything that goes on in your normal day. But you know what God is doing in your life? He's making you like Jesus. Right now. The second most important time in your life is now. How are you responding to trials in your life? How are you responding to your obedience to God right now? Because it is through that trial and through your obedience to God that God is changing you into the image of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? Paul was very confident about that. He was confident. Being confident that the work that Jesus Christ started in you, he's going to perform it. Okay? Has God started a good work in you? I don't like to go through trials. Do you? I don't like to go through adversity. I don't like to go through suffering. It's been 18 months or so ago now, I had a back injury. It was a herniated disc. Does anybody else have a back injury? Raise your hands again, because we're going to have our pity party moment just all together, because no one else understands. Come on, help me out here. No one else gets it. It's not a pulled back. It is a nerve issue. Can I get an amen for these people? Oh, man, I tell you, preacher, I mean, there's so many people who have gone through greater physical suffering, but the suffering that I went through in that time period was very, very difficult. And there was about a 2-3 month period. Oh, man, I told my wife, I'm serious. I told my wife, I said, honey, if I had to go through this again, I'm going to Jesus, see you in heaven. I can't go through this again. But you know what? When I went through that suffering, it was on a physical level. What God did in my life through that suffering to make me more like his son, I wouldn't trade. And until you go through something like that and you submit to something like that, and you understand God's purposes in Jesus for you are not your happiness, but you're conforming into the image of Jesus, you begin to see life a little bit different. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for what? Good. For good. What's good? What's the good? Define the good. Qualify the good. What does good mean? Like your happiness, no problems, no trials, no difficulties, life is good. You know, there's these guys in the Bible, you know, they're kind of familiar. You ever heard of Daniel? Yeah, his life was really good. Joseph, oh yeah, he had a really good, best brothers ever. His brothers treated him so nice, and he had the best life ever. I mean, circumstantially, Joseph had it going on. I mean, nothing bad ever happened to him. Oh yeah, Job, yeah, nothing bad ever happened to him either. Yet all those guys in the Scriptures, you look back, all this suffering had a purpose to it. And can I just let you know today that if you're going through something that's difficult today, maybe no one else knows about it. It's hard, preacher. It's difficult. It's real. That your suffering has meaning. Your suffering has meaning. And until you understand that, but our light affliction
which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Yeah, that's it. You see, suffering works for us. And the greatest thing that a Christian, now this is not, it's not deep, it's deep, but it's not deep, but this is real Christianity gospel stuff. This whole health and wealth gospel that Joel Osteen preaches all across good grief. Has he read the Bible? I don't know if he has read the Bible. I don't know. When I was going through that suffering, I was looking to get out of it, but God wasn't looking for me to get out of it. Well, God was trying to do something in my life through that suffering that could only be done through that suffering. And I guarantee there's people here this morning are going through stuff because of the sinful nature, because of just the fallen world that we live in. But can I just remind you from the scripture today that God is doing a good work in you? He is doing a good work in you. And He's going to perform this good work until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to conform you to the image of His Son. And everything that you go through and everything that you face, even though it's difficult, you have the promise of God that it is meaningful in your life. When I was laying there on my back struggling with that suffering, I didn't need to have like this hunky-dory message from Joel Osteen that life was just, you know, good and stuff. I need to know from the scripture, from the word of God, that what I was going through was meaningful. So as you submit to God in your obedience and you submit to God with your joy that He gives, what you go through is meaningful. And that is the power of the gospel in your life. You see, the second most important day was the day now that God is conforming me into the image of Jesus. Jump on board with that plan and you'll be fine. Let me mention the last one. What we've done. Number one, the first day, the day the gospel came into their life. Number two, the second most important day of the gospel was now in context because God is working in them both the will and the do of His good pleasure. He is conforming them into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what God is doing in your life right now. Number three, there's another important day. Let's look in the scripture. You already know it. Read it a couple times. Mentioned it. Here we go. Verse 6. A good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what the most important day of your life is? That you got saved. Now what God is doing in you. But number three, it's His day. You see, one day Jesus Christ will have His day. One day the Son of God will be completely revealed, completely manifested. We got a whole book in the scripture. We call it the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the manifesting of exactly who He is in the gospel. See, one day Jesus Christ will have His day. Categorically speaking, the day of Jesus Christ refers to a future day of revelation, judgment of Almighty God, and the purposes of the gospel. One day Jesus Christ will have His day. Listen carefully, you guys know this. It'll be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. A day when we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. A day when every man's work shall be made manifest. There is a coming a day, listen carefully, when he shall come with clouds. And every eye shall see Him. Every eye shall see Him. He cometh with clouds. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. That's His day. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. There is an hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. That's His day. All that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. By His authoritative voice, listen carefully, by Jesus Christ in His day, His authoritative voice, Hitler will be raised from the dead. Stalin shall be raised from the dead. Ted Kennedy shall be raised from the dead. Nelson Mandela shall be raised from the dead. Princess Diana shall be raised from the dead. Everybody shall be raised from the dead. By His very voice, that's His day. A day when the dead, small and great, shall stand before God. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's his day, a day when he shall make all things new, a day when there shall be no more curse. That's his day. Christ has made a curse for us, and he is bringing a day there shall be no more curse. A day when God shall wipe away all tears. A day when the tabernacle of God shall be with men. A day when the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants will serve him. Don't miss it. A day when we shall, and I quote, see his face. You see, that's his day. And until you start making more of his day, until you start really focusing on his day, all your days aren't going to make much impact on eternity. And the days that you live aren't going to matter. You see, but there's some folks in this church who realize that Jesus Christ will have his day. And so you carry gospel tracts with you because you know that the dead, small and great, will stand before God. And you begin to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ because you know that they're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account in his day. And you begin to make all about his day, his day, his day. The gospel has three important days. The first day, now, and his day. The three most important days of the gospel. May you be challenged, edified today to make much of his day. Don't forget the day you got saved, will you? Don't forget the day you got, the day the gospel came into your life. Don't forget about now. Jesus is changing you. He's changing. He's going to change you today as you expose your heart and mind to the Word of God. And one day he'll have his day. And this work, this good work that God is performing in you, he'll perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Preacher will come. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, the power of the Scripture. Thank you so much for making us more like your Son. I pray, Lord, we'll be better soul winners. We'll be better people who rejoice in future glory, to have that excitement of the promises of God yet revealed to us. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in a special way. I pray there's folks in here that need to make decisions. Even if it's something just submitting to the work of God in them again, Lord, I pray that you'll seal that decision even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.